and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hello. This is the guy from Machine.
Guy from Machine.
Come see me. And it wouldn't be 98 Mile without your favorite bartender in the city. Come to the Machine, 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 Machine. This one's for you, Freddy. Sports Hub. The Jam. It's the place where the hosts are schlubby. And the co-host, chubby. Except Fred, he will be my hubby. Hello. All your hosts should come here soon.
Come to Machine.
And check your boom, boom. I'll be happy. I'll sing my tune.
I'll boopity about my boom, boom, boom.
Come to you. Machine today, get your boom boom on the floor tonight. Bring Remy, come to Machine today. Save that guy named Dennis Eckersley just for me. Check that boom boom. Check that boom boom. Hello, Freddy.
Hello.
Hello, Dennis.
Hello.
Hello, Freddy.
Hello.
A rugged double bear. Check that boom boom for me. This is the guy from Machine. Check that boom boom.
Wave the flag, honey. The gate flag power.
Hello.
Check that boom boom. Come to the Machine, 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 Machine. Check that boom boom.
See you Friday or Saturday night. Bye.
Check that boom boom for me.
Hello.
985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Remember, be listening this morning for your chance to score a private suite for you and 17 friends. To see the Celtics and Magic on Monday, be part of the best home court advantage in the NBA. Secure your tickets by visiting Celtics.com/tickets. When you hear me, hang up on Rick Pitino. Be caller number 18 to the Sports Hub contest line at 617-931-0985. You know what I've found, Rich?
What's that?
Is that the homosexual community is very open to different types of looks. I find that heterosexual men are much tougher on judging other men by their looks than the than homosexuals. Homosexuals have these categories that I believe that everyone fits in.
Yeah, you can be accepted no matter how you look.
Like, there's a bear community that I could walk into right now and be a gorgeous.
You would be worshipped like a god.
I would. And then, you know, but and girls, look at, like, sometimes just being taller than the girls enough, but because they don't want a guy shorter than them. So, like, I'm 6'2", so I got it going right there.
Sure.
But in terms of gentlemen, seemingly heterosexual gentlemen, very judgmental on looks. Not the case, at least with the people at Machine.
It's nice. Everyone seems to have a category. And speaking of categories and things of the like, guy from Machine is going to play a game of pyramid. So here's how it's going to work. Do you have your sheets of paper in front of you?
Okay, I didn't know we needed it.
Get some sheets of paper in front of you. Guy from Machine is going to give you clues.
All right.
And you need to write down what word you think he is trying to describe.
Okay.
In his attempt to use everything but that word to have you figure out what he is thinking about, okay?
I have a feeling this was not easy for Nick to do.
Oh, boy. No, there were several we did not use. Just know that he had never heard of Magnum P.I. before.
All right.
Oh, boy. All right.
Okay, that was very strange.
Go. Okay.
All right, so let's get to the game, shall we? Here is clues number one.
They're singing Christmas carols, believe it or not.
Oh, this is...
Are they really?
He's still talking. Oh, he's still talking? Okay.
Deck the halls with balls of jolly. La 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 la.
All right, so we're going to do something a little bit different tonight.
Okay.
All right, you remember the pyramid game back in the 70s or whatever?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay, cool.
Even though I'm younger than that. All right, tell nobody.
I'm going to tell you something. Give me at least five descriptions of each of the following terms or names, okay?
Okay.
All right. So, how would you describe...
Oh, I know what you mean. Okay. All right. It's oval. It has nice stitching on it. It's smooth, like nice, heavy, sexy leather. I like it when it goes in the air. It flies through the air. It looks like a cone swirling, like, catch me if you can.
Okay.
All right, what is it?
Well, that's a football.
Yes, a football.
Let's take a listen. Let's see what he says. Is it a football?
football.
Oh, yes. Goodness gracious, you got that one.
Nice job.
Indeed.
It's a lot of words. Swirly. Twirly. Not quite sure. Twirls.
Well, listen. Everyone has their different descriptions. All right. We continue. Guy from Machine Password.
Round. Red. Delicious. As big as your eye socket. Sometimes bigger.
Eye socket?
For you go first.
Did you name the word?
You go first. Round, red, delicious, but as big as your eye socket.
Fred. No, of course not. Would I actually have him do that?
I don't know.
John?
Hold on. Let me cross mine out.
If it's red, somebody needs to go to a doctor.
Well, that doesn't rule it out.
I haven't, you know, bent over a mirror lately.
Yes, John.
It's a tip of something. Let me think. hang on.
A monkey's bottom.
I'll say a cherry tomato.
What is it, Mr. Guy from Machine?
Meatball.
Oh, come on.
All the meatballs.
How would you not get that?
Is this a meatball or a marble? For God's sake.
Okay, well, how did you not get that? Well,
Fred, was that your answer?
It was red. It was, you know, delicious.
Yeah. I just wanted to know if Fred and I were thinking along the same
lines.
Big
as your eye socket?
I'm pretty sure Fred and I had the same answer.
I mean, a meatball's as big as your eye socket?
I guess so. I mean, if you have a big enough one, sure.
All right,
here we go.
All the meatballs were.
Yeah, they were gone. Yes, they were. All right, so let's get to the third one. Let's Guy from Machine Password.
Be careful about that bigger, if you know what I mean. Mm. And you can eat a lot at one sitting.
Okay.
That was the meatballs. You can eat a lot at one sitting. Okay.
Okay. Very good.
Would you still have guessed your guess?
Yes, actually.
It doesn't
hold with mine.
It doesn't fit with his thing, but I just think of an animal presenting. Like, I just think of an animal. Now, it takes the taste and good out of it.
Right.
But I just keep thinking of, you know how animals present themselves?
No, I think we were being led down the wrong path there, Fred. We were
being led down a primrose path?
I think we were being led in one direction when it was clearly something else.
All right, here we go.
Big, big fur. Long claws. Long, like you want to paint your nails kind of claws. And big, huge feet. And big nose. And loves to eat.
My wife.
Long claws. Long, like you want to paint your nails kind of claws. And big, huge feet. And big nose. And loves to eat.
Okay.
Okay, stop, yeah. Stop. All right.
All right, Fred.
Fred, what would that be?
Harry with big claws that you want to paint, that loves to eat, and has huge feet.
Mm-hmm.
John, I'm going to let you take a swing at this.
I'll go Sasquatch. That's my guess.
That's not a bad guess. Not a bad guess.
Loves to eat.
Yeah.
That's where I got it wrong.
Let's take a listen.
Bear.
Oh, Fred, there you go. There you go, Fred. Nice.
What kind of bear?
A rugged double bear.
Nice. Okay, right. There you go, Fred.
All right.
Nice.
Is there another one?
Or your wife. There's one last one.
Okay, here we go.
All right, the final one. What is he describing here? Guy from Machine Pyramid.
And the last one is,
wow. Extremely handsome, debonair, nice speaking voice. I'm not married. Get the digits.
All right.
Hello.
What are you going to dress up as?
Okay, stop. Okay, so what is it? What's he describing there?
me.
Yeah, I would say Fred. I'll just say Dennis Eckersley to be different, but I think it's Fred.
Nick Manley.
Oh,
Nick Jamele.
Okay, all
right. Oh,
nice.
Nick. How embarrassed do I seem now? I thought it was me.
Guy from Machine is a big fan of
Nick Manley.
Who is it?
All right, well, listen. That was embarrassing. There's egg on my face. All right, and the guy from Machine will leave us with this.
What are you going to dress up as for Halloween?
I'm going to be Stephen Harvey from Family Feud.
It's actually a good one.
Oh, it's a good one. So come see me and get a cocktail from Machine.
So he's going to just wear a really bad suit?
Right, just a very loud suit? Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. All right. And you got to go to the Halloween party. There needs to be an appearance by
Nick Manley.
I thought he was
Liza's brother.
I've never been more embarrassed. I thought he was talking about me, and then I went out of the limb and I said it, and now I look a fool.
Mm. Any of the outtakes any good? You were saying he didn't stick the landing on many of them.
Well, he didn't know what Magnum P.I. was.
Yeah, there's...
And he didn't know... what was the other one? Tom Brady? He didn't quite stick the landing on that one.
All right.
Yeah, I mean,
the man is he's a workaholic. I mean, he's a machine.
I'll make meatballs.
He didn't have that one, you know.
He could have described Mark Jamelli. All right, we're very excited. Mike Gorman is going to be joining us. He will join us every Wednesday at 8:20. We will talk to him in just a moment.
Nick Manley.
No. What was that?
Oh, Nick Jamelli.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Tatum against Embiid, dribbling between his legs several times, steps to his left. Embiid, though, has him blocked up, 5 on the shot clock. Tatum now loses him, gets free at 19 feet, jumper, banks it in.
No way. That was ISO one-on-one. Cash money.
22 for Tatum, 96-85. Celtics pile up.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We're touching Rich. Young Nicholas hanging out in the studio.
No. I actually asked him something, and he was talking to me, and that's why it took him a second to get the great Mike Gorman on the phone. By the way, while we are waiting to get him on, remember, we have not given away the suite to the Celtics game yet. If you hear at some point during the show, it could be during the middle of an interview, it could be during a commercial break. If you hear the sound of Fred hanging up on Rick Pitino, be caller 18 to our contest line, 617-931-0985, and you and 17 of your friends are going to sit in a suite for the upcoming Celtics game.
Mr. Gorman, it's been a long time. Hello.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Oh, just doing great. Having the time of our lives.
Yeah. I miss you. You're not on TV anymore. I can't see you. That's tough.
Yeah, a lot of people say that, and to that I would say there's the internet, radio, there's a lot of things that you're way to catch the show. Podcasts.
Stuff helps us with ratings, you see.
Well, I enjoyed seeing you guys in the morning, so I'll find you online now, I guess.
Yeah. Or I'll just take...
TNR Live, is that on that's the site, right? Yeah.
No, you still don't see us. It's just still the audio. I mean, it's a radio medium. We're working in there.
Never mind.
Okay, how about if I just take several pictures of us and text them to you throughout the show?
There you go. And we can flip them like cards, you know, and it'll look like you're moving.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do.
How was the off season? What did you end up doing? Did you go anywhere fun?
Yeah, we did. We did, actually. We flew to Athens and wandered down to the docks down there and chartered a 54-foot sailboat for 10 days and went floating around the Aegean Sea.
Wow. Look at you living good.
My God. He is a man of the world.
No, it was best vacation I've ever taken. It was really cool.
Excellent.
We didn't go to Mykonos. We didn't go to all the places where all the cruise ships go. There's about 60 islands in the whole chain that run up and down the Aegean Sea there. And probably 30-40% of them are uninhabited completely, and the rest of them are really small conclaves of fishermen and stuff like that. So we just pull into these different coves every night and sleep on the deck of the boat and swim in the morning and have breakfast on a little beach. I tell you, it was like otherworldly. It was really, really good.
You didn't go
flip? You felt like you were off the grid. You had no internet signal for about 6 of the 10 days you were out there. You really felt off the grid. It was really cool.
You weren't interested in flipping a glow stick over at Mykonos and doing some fist pumping, some EDM music?
No.
That's more Tommy Heinsohn's thing, right?
Yeah, I don't know whose thing it is, but Mykonos is cruise ships and wall-to-wall people on the streets. We were in places that nobody spoke English. It was really cool.
Well, it must have felt kind of cool.
You asked. That's what we did.
Well, excellent. Sounds like a lot of fun, but I got to think that to come back to a team like this that has high expectations and, you know, that's why I'm a pro. That's why we got morning drive. So what did you think of your first game out of the box with this this team?
Well, I was impressed because I was very unimpressed with them during the preseason, and everybody kept saying, preseason doesn't count. And I'm like, yeah, it does. It counts if you're bad. And I thought they were bad in the preseason, but they bounced back pretty well last night, played well defensively, I thought, especially in the second half. And, the bench won the game, actually, for them. We spent all our time in our pregame show, and everybody spent the previous week learning about Kyrie and Gordon, and it turned out that Marcus Morris and Rozier, those are the guys who won the game for the Celtics last night, along with Tatum. Tatum, I guess, was the biggest surprise because I thought during the regular season last year, Tatum averaged like 14 points a game, something like that, then jumped up to 18 in the playoffs. And so I'm thinking, like, in his mind, he's thinking, like, I'm a 22-point-a-game guy this year. And I think he has the talent to be that. I just didn't think he would get the opportunity to be it with the other guys working their way into the lineup, guys who – like Gordon and Kyrie, who need the ball and are looking for shots. But Jason certainly made the best use of his time last night and had 23 points on the night. This could be his team before the season is over.
The best thing about Tatum is he's got that thing that, like this summer, you could tell he did everything he could to get better. Like, he's not one of these guys that, you know, plays well and then, you know, continues to rest on his laurels. I mean, he did that whole workout with Kobe. I know that he tried to gain, like, a ton of muscle because that was a huge thing that people had against him. I think he ended up gaining, like, 7 or 8 pounds or something crazy like that. But when you have... And when you have a kid that talented already who continues to put in the work, that's got to be a sign of good things to come.
Yeah, without question. Again, I didn't think he would get the opportunity. I thought he would get better this year, but I didn't think he'd statistically get better because, again, Kyrie and Gordon are, you know, that's the biggest thing last night I was impressed with was that 9 guys played between 19 and 30 minutes if Al was like 29-50, something like that. And that was the biggest challenge I thought that Brad Stevens faced was how is he going to juggle these guys? How is he going to give everybody enough minutes to keep them satisfied? And certainly he gave Morris and Rozier enough minutes to be able to do what they did last night off the bench. He played 9 guys. They all played between 19 and 30 minutes. If he can do that every night, he'll have a pretty happy bunch of guys. And if they're a happy bunch of guys and stay healthy, the sky's the limit for them.
How did Gordon Hayward – sorry about that, Mike. I interrupted. Finish your thought.
All right. I love the sound Mike made as if he just expects you to do that. It's like, oh, yeah, it's fine.
Come on. The guy that sucks interrupted. No surprise.
Yeah. You know what Wallach hears when you talk? He hears, can't wait to speak. When's my turn to speak?
No, John, Rich is too hard on John. The audience is starting to turn on Rich.
it's my turn?
John, it's half pipe. Half pipe, go ahead.
It's a U-shaped ramp.
You know Mike Gorman. You know
he was listening. I can't be listening yesterday.
You know
he was watching it on TV.
You're really effed up when Gorman's like, "What a nerd."
Yeah, I know. That's true. That's true. Thanks, Mike. No, my pulse pounding question was John, Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward, Mike.
What about Gordon?
Nothing. Let's just drop it.
Go ahead. You say Gordon Hayward. Go ahead. Finish your thoughts.
He still looked tentative, Mike. I was wondering what your expert opinion was on that.
Yeah, I think he was a little bit tentative. I think he will continue to be a little bit tentative until he gets probably 5 or 10 games under his belt. You know, this guy probably went the longest stretch of his adult life without playing basketball, and he's just coming in off it. I saw him. I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but as he was walking off the court, we kind of made eye contact with each other. And the look on his face, he had a smile on his face, but it was more a smile of relief than anything else. I think that, you know, he finally got this game against legitimate competition behind him, and hadn't been left in the dust, didn't perform particularly well in the first half, but I thought in the second half played much better with much more confidence. He's going to be fine. Here's the thing about this team. People talk about Kyrie and they talk about going and integrating these two all-stars into the lineup. That's a very difficult task to do. If you're trying to bring in two guys who are like your number four guy, your number seven guy, that's easy. You can work them in. But you're talking about two guys who are potentially your number one, number two, or two and three guys, depending upon how enthused you are about Tatum. That's hard for Brad Stevens to do. And so I think it's going to take a while for this integration to be complete. So Celtic fans, you know, they got to get used to the fact that this team's not going to be 16-2 like last year's team was after 18 games. They might be more like, I don't know, 11-7, something like that. But the time for this team to gel is three, four months from now, not right now. And so Brad's going to take his time. He's going to work guys in. They're going to try to keep Gordon with 25 minutes, at least for the immediate future. But, you know, again, this team has a chance to be really, really good, but it's going to take time. And they're going to have some bad nights. They got a tough back-to-back this weekend. We play in Toronto. It's an 8 o'clock game because it's on national TV in Canada, which should be interesting because half the crowd will probably be stoned. It is. It's going to be
great. Was it yesterday that it got legalized? I think was it just yesterday that it's midnight, wide open, right?
Midnight last night, wide open. Yeah.
What are those things called?
I envision guys scoring baskets, and you go 1,000, 1,000, 2,000, 3, and then the crowd cheers.
Now, Rich, what are those things called? The hard, they're very strong with THC.
Oh, the dabs?
Yeah. Yeah. Mike Gorman, your thought on dabs?
I'm not big on dabs.
Okay. Too much, too intense a high?
I'm not going there, Fred.
All right.
Well, it's legal now. I mean, so, you know.
Well, listen, not everyone can be super cool.
So, but one thing, you and Tommy have worked at the Garden for all of these years. And then last night, well, I guess this year, the first time that they've changed the lighting to be super bright, was that?
Yep.
How weird was that for you guys?
I like it. Yeah? I like it. I think it looks better on TV, for one. And I do like the fact that it gets dark up high. It enables, for me anyway, it enables me to focus much more on the court as opposed to being in this huge arena where the lights are as strong in the last row of the second balcony as they are on courtside. I like this lighting much better myself.
I don't know if I like it because didn't they do that at the where the Nets played over the Barclays Center? Don't they light it that way?
It's severe there, though.
Yeah.
That gets dark 15 rows back from the court.
Oh, and it just kills the vibe of the crowd. Like, there's something about being able to see the people all around you kind of go nuts. And I have not been to a TD Garden Live yet game this year, so I don't know. But that game we went to at the Barclays Center, I mean, that crowd was dead. And I think a lot of it had to do with just the way they present the game with the lighting.
Yeah, I think they were trying to cover up the fact that there weren't many people there at first, so the lighting worked well for them, and there was nothing to really get excited about. So, maybe as the Nets get better, they'll turn up the wattage a little bit. But that is severe. That's almost like going to an old-style boxing match where just the ring is lit and nothing else.
All right.
But anyway, I do kind of like it. I do.
All right, well, so this is going to be an interesting season. And finally, the 76ers, they overrated. It seems that Embiid said it last night. This isn't a rivalry. I mean, it seems that the Celtics, they're 3-11. And, you know, I heard this guy on TV yesterday was talking about how the 76ers had the best starting lineup in the Eastern Conference. And it's like, all right, you got Embiid, you got Simmons, and then you got a cliff after that.
Yes, you do.
Have they
Saric is a nice player, but the other kid, folks, he's got a way to go.
Yeah, he looked awful last night. I kind of felt bad for him last night.
Well, sure, but you kind of root for him because things went so bad last year.
And he looked completely confused and out of it yesterday.
Yeah, he's still got a real hitch in his shot. He shoots free throws as if the ball is heavy. You know, it's like he can't get it out of his hands. And it's kind of this, it's like Charles Barkley's golf swing. It just has all these hitches in the middle of it. No, I don't. I think the Celtics' real competition is the team they see Friday night.
Yeah.
Toronto is very deep. You know, people Kawhi Leonard seems like he's committed to having a big year. And if he is, they're going to be a tough out because they got 10 guys who can play and they're extremely athletic.
All right. Well, listen, Mike Gorman, it's great to have you back. Enjoy the week, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
All right. Sounds good. How are the turquoise wheels? Are they good?
How's who?
Your turquoise wheels, Fred.
Oh, yeah. I got this lazy character, Nicholas Jamelli, who didn't come over yesterday to put the damn thing together.
Oh, no kidding. Wow. I want to see pictures. They're on Instagram with this, right?
Yeah, at Fred Touch. Now, do you got one of them lazy employees?
I can't get them on the internet, you know.
Do you have one of them lazy employees? Is there anyone over there with you that you ask to do stuff? They volunteer to do stuff and then they never show up?
No. Yeah. I don't work anywhere. I just work for myself. So if I had a lazy employee, it would be me. Because I'm the only employee.
I think he was raised wrong. I think that he has a lack of
responsibility.
And willpower and self-respect that comes with a good job. That comes with a job well done. So I mean, I'm not putting it together. So I need someone else to do it. So
do you have one of these U-shaped things in your garden?
So I'm gonna have Wally come over and
make a U-shaped ramp.
Make
for
a U-shaped ramp for me. That's the plan.
I laughed all day about that yesterday.
I'm glad you found it.
I'll tell you what,
Mike.
This bike thing's taken off. I'm getting a lot of correspondence about this bike thing. All right.
Yeah. Well. All right, guys.
People want to see me hurt myself, including Mr. Mike Gorman. Mike Gorman, thank you so much, sir.
Adios. See you.
All right, see you,
there
man.
There you go, Mike Gorman. Remember, be listening this morning when you hear me. The last good thing I did on the radio, when you hear me hang up on Rick Pitino.
It could be at any point. As I said, it could be during the commercials. It could be right in the middle of an interview. So make sure you listen.
Yep.
Caller 18, when you hear Fred hanging up on Rick Pitino, to the contest line, 617-931-0985 is a massive prize. You and 17 friends are going to take over a suite to an upcoming Celtics game. We only got an hour and 25 minutes left.
And you know it's not going to be at the crossover because we're going to be enjoying the song about butts that we play.
I'm a nice man.
Yeah, and then that's in my head the entire day. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
High fly ball to right. Redick is at the wall. Can only watch a grand slam. Jackie Bradley Jr. A knockout punch here in the eighth. 8-2, Boston. 7 RBIs for JBJ in the last two games. Look at that Red Sox dugout.
It was a grand salami by your hero so far of these American League Championship games. Jackie Bradley Jr., by the way, be listening this morning for your chance to score a private suite for you and 17 friends to see the Celtics and the Magic this Monday. You see? You got to be caller number 18 when you hear me hang up on Rick Pitino. Now, everyone knows, Rich, that everyone, that I'm not fond of Twitter. I don't like it. I think that it's I don't feel like debating people on Twitter. I don't find much constructive things come from it. I'm afraid if you say the wrong thing in this day and age, in 2018, that you're just lining yourself up for losing your job or something.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain things that get me back.
Yep.
With my burner account, there are certain things that that get me back.
Yeah.
And one of them is the great Pete Gammons.
Would that be the... I don't know. This is one of those times where maybe you just got to take the phone away from Grandpa. This has been ramping up for a while now. Like, Peter Gammons, okay, you're probably one of the more accomplished sports reporters of our time. You would argue that that's probably true.
I mean, since 1920, he's been, I mean, he was here for the Babe Ruth trade.
You don't need to be on Twitter. If you're Peter Gammons, and I know he works for The Athletic and stuff, but I mean...
He works for The Athletic?
I think here and there he does. And yeah, I read that in an article.
What is he just, like, telegraph his reports to them?
I don't know, but it's just, it's, I mean, all, he was already master of the pocket tweet, which, once again, how do you pocket tweet?
I have no idea.
Like, I mean, you have to, first of all, you have to unlock your phone, then you have to open up the app, and then you have to open up the compose, and then you have to put something in there, and then press send. That's a lot of buttons it takes to get to
pocket
tweet.
Are we just going to take the point that he might be a Russian spy off the table, and those were some kind of codes?
Maybe you're right, but I mean, you know, he's notorious for just putting out tweets that would be the letter N, and then there was one that just said, I don't know, this was great. This was back in 2010, but he had one that just said plops.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure.
It's a disease that pirates used to get.
The plops?
They, yeah, as they've said.
I remember the great plop epidemic of 1792.
And then just as of late, like the past 2 weeks, it's really gone to a new level. We talked to a couple days ago about the tweet he put out there that said, the eighth inning of what may be a do-or-die game with the tension of a Game 7, Neanderthal Fenway Park fans, in quote, chanting, Yankees dash, dash, dash.
Can't write suck.
Are eerily like those who chant, lock her up, at a pole rally designed to demean female assault victims' trauma. I mean, I where his brain was, and he's just
the idea that he'd never heard Yankees suck.
Right, like this is some new discovery to him.
Well, listen, it's a mob mentality, and he obviously does not like it when people say lock her up, and doesn't like chants of any sort.
I guess so.
Unless they're like rah-rah team, mm-hmm. and you're holding up a pennant that says sports.
I guess so. There's also a tweet from last week that he said, thankfully, Angel Hernandez wasn't in on Brown versus the Board of Education. It would have been overturned. There we go. I don't know why these things are connected.
Because he was getting a lot of things overturned.
And then it just gets strange.
Then he starts talking about how he jammed with Scott Joplin.
Scott Joplin.
Is that the Maple Leaf Rag? Yeah, that was it. Those were the times, rag times.
All right. Well, let's get to some of the more recent ones, including this one, which came out yesterday. This says, Red Sox players know Alex Bregman is like Dustin Pedroia, 1977. First of all, just that sentence alone. Let's start with that. Dustin Pedroia, 1977. Dustin Pedroia was a gleam in his father's eye in 1977. He wasn't even a zygote. I believe he was born in 78, maybe 79. And even if he was a baby, how would Alex Bregman be like Dustin Pedroia in 1977? That's just the first sentence.
Maybe he's childlike.
It could be. Maybe he's unborn-like.
Maybe he's, you know, still fascinated by objects and learning his way around this world.
He said they die to play with him, but some Boston media get upset with him.
1983, by the way.
Okay, well, then there we go. So he, 6 years until he was alive. Are they upset?
He's just talking about his father's balls.
Okay, and he... he reminds me of Dustin Pedroia's father's balls.
Yes. That in a mere 5 years would produce a one-time MVP.
So let's, okay, real quick, let's start from the top. Red Sox players know Alex Bregman is like Dustin Pedroia in 1977. They die to play with him, but some Boston media get upset with him. Are they upset that his great-grandfather, a courageous immigrant, was part of the group that brought the Boston Redskins and moved to Washington?
That's it.
Now, okay, so
rat bastard.
Is that is that true? Did the Bregman guys?
Bregman, yeah.
Or Bregman
is some. I don't know specific. I've heard stuff about that.
Do we know for a fact he was courageous?
No. Can't answer that.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, he had this nugget that this Bregman was related to a guy who moved the Boston Redskins apparently to Washington. And he was a courageous immigrant.
And then there was one that was just simply last night at, I think it was his 8:12.
He was just said going to bed?
No. Hose people are why I so love this game. That's my head. We're reading that tweet.
Hose people.
You know, the hose people.
There's pimps.
The ones you speak to about said hoes.
Yes, indeed. He's talking of pimps.
Mm-hmm.
He's just...
Hoes people.
I don't know what the point of the tweets are, but they are lovely.
I mean, this is when my grandpa lost his filter and just would say anything and just random things. But he never talked about hoes people. Although if he had a Twitter, maybe at some point in the middle of the night when he wasn't actually speaking and just thinking, that's what would spill out onto the cell phone that he was holding. And then there's one more from yesterday. Only reminder of the humanity of the game and how their teammates care so much for the struggles they've endured to get here. Here's a pee.
Oh, because he was going through his Hungry Man?
He found one of the mashed potatoes buried inside the mashed potato. Yeah. Here's a pee.
He was like, the humanity of the game. Oh, there's a pee.
That's a reminder of humanity right there that I found
a pee.
A pee inside of my Hungry Man mashed potatoes.
Or perhaps it was all mashed up. And then he found one that wasn't mashed.
You see, I thought after he ate his Hungry Man, he would have tweeted plops.
Well, the plops was very serious business. I don't know if you should be joking around about that.
I guess so.
I remember back taking a train with Ty Cobb, and the whole Tigers organization was infected with the plops. There was nary a bathroom on the train that was inhabitable. You know, they called Ty Cobb evil son of a bitch, but damn, did that guy know how to cure plops.
Here's a pee.
My favorite old swing song. Veggies on the plate. You take your fork and your spoon, and then you eat your plate. Smuggling booze.
This is Hungry Man eating Peter Gammons.
Yes. The sirloin steak isn't quite cooked all the way through. Don't use the microwave, it's gonna get sick. It's not right, it's scientist. It's magnetic radiation, I don't trust it.
It's TV dinner, Peter Gammons.
Yeah. That's right.
Eating alone again tonight.
Yes. Looking at an empty television. All right. Well, listen, Peter Gammons, good for you. And remember, we have a chance.
He just sent out another tweet.
We have a chance to get a suite for you and 17 your friends to the Monday.
You and all your host people.
I remember the hose people. They were rapscallions. They were knickerbockers, and they would come around with hoses, and they would douse you wet. I'm finally dry, and then they would come by and they would wet you, and then you know the water back then wasn't as pure, so then you'd end up with the plops. All right. Good old Pete. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
John?
Yes.
John, do you have 17 friends?
Probably not, but I can figure it out.
All right, well, listen. You got yourself the suite there for the Monday game, Celtics-Orlando Magic at the Garden. For you, and if you can muster up 17 friends. Are you a single man?
No, I'm married.
Oh. You sound enthralled there, John.
I am.
Well, John, this is shocking.
I'm not sure if it's
real. This is just shocking to John.
Yeah, yeah. You won. You won.
Yeah, that's great. Now I need to find friends.
Yeah. You're just like me. The pressure's immense now.
Right. It's all real.
Yeah. Now it becomes real. Because you can't be there with just you and your wife. And then, like, because then you look like a loser.
And it says something about your existence, too. Like, you're sitting there and you have that sheet of paper that's like, all right, let's write down the names. And you get to, like, three and you're like, all right, maybe I have some decisions to make.
Or you have like, okay, well, we can squeak by with 17 friends, and then it, like everyone says they can't go.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So, well, listen, you know what? Maybe if you have it on your own, you can romance your wife a little bit. But congratulations. We appreciate you listening and enjoy the suite.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. The very emotional John from Quincy.
He's off to go do flips and set off fireworks in his backyard.
All right. I did not hang up on him, though, which is a triumph.
Nick was very smart. He put him on hold. But before he put him on hold, wrote down, didn't tell him he had won, just wrote down his information just in case.
Okay.
Smart thing to do.
Thereby informing him that he had won.
No, no, no. He said he did not win. He goes, just so we don't lose you, let me get the phone
number. I want my bike to be put together.
Now there's all these people saying, John, take me. Tell John I'll be his friend for the night.
Just get into the phone book and look up John and Quincy. All the Johns and call them. Last night, heroics in Houston. We will discuss 617-779-0985. No commercials here, just the headlines.